Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Tzadik Beis. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. At the yesterday's shir, the last part of yesterday's shir, we discussed the machlokes of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. The question was, Eged Kli Shmei Eged or Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged? When you take something out in the keli, how does the halacha look at it? Do we look at everything in the keli as just being one object? In other words, what you're really taking out is the keli. And the fact that some of the items that are in the keli, you have already completely taken out on Shabbos, for example, doesn't make a difference? Or does the halacha say that eged keli is loy shmei eged, and we look at every item individually? Chizkiya's opinion was eged keli loy shmei eged, and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was that eged keli shmei eged. So it's very interesting. According to Rabbi Yochanan, as we just said, you're not chayv until you take out the entire keli. Rashi explains, because until you took out the entire keli, it's not considered as if you took the objects that are inside the keli out. The Rambam explains that it's not that it's not considered that you took the objects out. When you have objects in a box and you're carrying the box, the objects, according to the Rambam, lose their independent identity. Their entire identity is now the box, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, until you took the entire box out, you would not be chayiv. So it's interesting to point out that this question has relevance to other halachas as well. The Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Torah Lishma, Simen Kuf Pei Tes, discusses if you shalchmanis, we know the halacha is you have to give two manis. You have to give two different types of food. Another question is, if you have two different types of food, indeed, but you have them in one box. And if we're going to say, as we've been learning, that eged keli shmei eged, and everything in the box is considered in one box, so then the halacha is that maybe you could not be mekayim mitzvah shalach manas that way, because everything is now only considered one. So certainly, if we follow the opinion of Rashi, where Rashi says it's really a din in Hilcha Shabbos more, that in Hilcha Shabbos, everything that's, it's not considered you took out the objects that are in the box until you took out the entire box. So that's a unique halacha to Hilcha Shabbos. It wouldn't necessarily be connected to Hilcha Shalach Manas. According to the Rambam, however, that we just explained, that the definition of Eged Keli Shmei Eged means that everything in the box is now considered as one. So there, indeed, it may be that according to the Rambam, the halacha should be, says the Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Torah Lishma, that you're not able to do Shalach Manas that way. So certainly, if you have the Shalach Manas on a tray, it's not a box that has, you're putting into a box, it's on a flat tray, there everybody would agree that we don't say Eged Keli Shmei Eged. The question would be, however, where they're not on a flat tray, when they're in a box, what would be the halacha? So he wants to suggest that you can't be Mekayim Mitzvah Shalach Manas that way. But I did see that Rav Moshe Sternbuch says in the Shilas of Tshuvas Van Hoggis, Chelik Bey Simon Shin Dalad Mem, that even everybody would agree for Hilcha Shalach Manas that this wouldn't be a concern. And he brings a Gevaldig Raya. He says the Paiskim discuss if you have a fish and you have egg smeared on top of your fish, is that considered one mana or is that considered two manas? So he makes a very strong point. If that's going to be, if that is, that's certainly one thing. Yet there's a concern that there's a legitimate discussion amongst the Paiskim that they should be concerned as far, they should be considered as far as Hilchos Shalach Manos as two separate manos. So if they consider two separate manos as far as Hilchos Shalach Manos, they, in that case, perhaps, certainly just being a warm box will not prevent them from being considered two separate manos. Of course, another question that the Mefarshim ask is that we have a rule throughout Shas and throughout Halacha, Ruba Kekula. So why don't we say here as well that if most of the box is taken out, we should apply the concept of Ruba Kekula. So there's a very important answer to that question. We apply the concept of Ruba Kekula when something positive has to be done. That means if you had to do something with the entire item, so Ruba Kekula tells us that even if I only did it to most of the item, it's already considered like I did to the rest. But certainly, when we're speaking about Halacha of Shabbos, where the Halacha of Shabbos to be Chayef HaHotzah is that you carry from one Rishus to another Rishus, there you can't fulfill, there it's not considered that you did the Maisa HaHotzah unless you completely removed it from one Rishus to another Rishus. So begins the Gemara Masor Abibi Barabaya. Hagoyin of Kis B'Shabbos. So word of introduction to this piece of Gemara. Throughout Shas, there's a concept of Kimle B'Drabba M'nei. Kimle B'Drabba M'nei means that if somebody does one act, that for that one act, there are two punishments. The halacha is that we say Kimle B'Drabba M'nei, we only give the more severe punishment. However, we also only say Kimle B'Drabba M'nei, we apply that concept, if the two punishments come simultaneously. So then the halacha says that we give the more severe punishment. But if the two chiyuvim don't come at the same time, there we don't say kimle midrabmanei. So the Braisa speaks about hagoyin of kis b'Shabbos. If somebody stole a wallet on Shabbos and he carries it out from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, so he's done two averis. He's done the aver of Chil Shabbos, carrying from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and he's also done the avera of Geneva, for which there's a less severe punishment. He has to pay back what he stole. The loch is, he's chayiv, he's still going to be chayiv both punishments. Shekfan is chayiv be Geneva. The chiv of Geneva comes, kodem shiyovu de Yisra Shabbos. The chiv for Geneva comes at the moment that you picked up that wallet with the intention to steal it. The chiv for Hilchos Shabbos only comes when you took it out from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. In other words, to be chayiv for Geneva, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan. You have to take ownership of the item that you stole. So Hagbah is a way of taking ownership. So if the Hagbah came before the Hotzah, you're going to be chayiv two separate punishments. However, continues the Braisa, if you didn't do Hagbah, you schlepped it out from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, you chayiv, because the way you took ownership of that object is not through Hagbah, but you took ownership of the object through Meshicha. A Meshicha is taken into your, by taking into your Rishus. So when does that happen? When you take it into the Rishus HaRabim. So at that time, the two chiyuvim came at the exact same moment. Shepater. Shere Issa Geneva, Issa Shabbos, Baran Kechad. They both come at the same time. Of course, the question is, how can we say that you took ownership if you schlepped it into the Rishus HaRabim? The Rishus HaRabim is not a place where you could take ownership. So the Rishonim respond that it's been taken to a tzidei, the tzidei Rishus HaRabim, the area on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, which as we've discussed in our previous shiurim, the area on the side of the Rishus HaRabim has a din of Rishus HaRabim as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, does not have a din of hilchos of rishus rabim as far as place where you could do kinyan mashicha. And therefore, it's a place where the kinyan mashicha is effective, and the geneva and the hoitzah came at the same time. Ask the Gemara. V'isal k'daitach. If, as Rabbi Yochanan holds, eged keli shmei eged, everything in the keli is considered connected, so then why do we say that these two isurim are coming simultaneously? Kodem le issa geneva le issa Shabbos. The chiyah for geneva comes first, because as far as the geneva is concerned, once the opening of the purse is in the rishus harabim, so it's accessible to me in the rishus harabim, so therefore I'm chayy for geneva. The hoitzah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as we've been learning, only takes place when the entire box is taken into the rishus harabim. So we don't have these two isurim coming simultaneously. So why does the Braisa say that under such circumstances of Megara v'yotzei, we apply the concept of Kimle b'derabbanei? Answers the Gemara, Ida afkiderek piv, if you indeed took it out that way, where the opening was accessible to you, so the opening is accessible to you before the object is taken into the Rishus Rabbim, Hachinami, indeed, we could not apply the concept of Kimle b'derabbanei. Hachamai skinen. However, we're referring here a situation, Dafke derech shulov. They took it out the other way. And therefore, it doesn't become accessible to you where the mouth is on the other side. And therefore, it doesn't become accessible to you until it's completely taken into the Rishus Rabbim. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't actually true. Ve'ika makam chalma. The place where it's attached, where the seams are put together, the boy mafkali v'shakal, that are easily opened up, you could tear open the seams. So even if you took it out that way, it becomes accessible to you. Answers the Gemara, we have a new teretz. Benascha. Benascha means that they're long silver bars which were stolen, and therefore the entire bar is not in the Rishus Rabbim until the entire purse, entire bag is brought into the Rishus Rabbim, and therefore you can't do the Mashicha is not effective, because Mashicha is not effective until the entire object that you're trying to take ownership of is in your new Rishus. And as the Rishonim point out, once the Gemara gives the teretz of Benascha, we don't have to speak anymore in which direction the opening of the purse is. Ask the Gemara, the kiv and the ikishansen, there were typically drawstrings connected to the purse, so those drawstrings are still, the entire silver bar could be already in the Rishus HaRabim, but the drawstrings are still in the Rishus HaYochid. So if those drawstrings are still in the Rishus HaYochid, the halacha should be that as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, because we say Agad Kli Shmei Eged, it's not considered that it was completely taken out for Hilchos Shabbos. The Kivin Dak B'Shabbos Mapak Le'apumei, he could simply take out the entire thing until it's outside, V'Shari V'Shokel, and take out the silver pieces. However, V'shantzen agidim gavoy, the strings are still in the Rishus HaYochid, and you're not chai for Hilchos Shabbos, even though it is considered already that you stole it. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a purse, the Lakashantzen, that doesn't have these strings that are still going to perhaps be in the Rishus HaYochid. V'bay same dislay, even if it has these strings, u'mecharchei alavei, they're tied around the purse. So since they're tied around the purse, they're going to be going out of the Rishus HaYochid the same time the purse goes out of the Rishus HaRabim, of the Rishus HaYochid. V'chein HaMarava, continues the Gemara, so too regarding the Machloikas of Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says that this was the same, a subject of Rava and Abaya. V'chein HaMarava, Loishan HaBekupa Mlei Kshum V'Deloyim, Ava Mlei Echardel, if it's full of mustard, so some of the mustard seeds are already out before the other mustard seeds are out, you will be chayif. Alma, so obviously Rava's opinion is that Agad Kli Lashmei Agad, we don't look at the box, we look at the objects in the box. Abayama, however, Abaya holds a filum alei chardol. Even if the box is full of mustard seeds, potter, he's not chayiv for haitzah until he takes out the entire box. Because Alma, it's obvious that Abaya's opinion is that eged keli shmei eged. We look at the box, not at the items in the box. However, comments the Gemara that ultimately, come Abaya b'shitzei derava, Abaya came to accept Rava's opinion that Agid Keli loishmei Agid, and come Rava b'shitzei d'Abaya, and Rava held like Abaya that Agid Keli shma Agid. Ask the Gemara, v'rami d'Abaya d'Abaya, we have a question, a stira in the opinion of Abaya, v'rami d'Rava d'Rava, and we have a stira in the opinion of Rava. Ditma, hamoitzi peres l'shusarabim, if you take out a box with peres l'shusarabim, Abaya Amar, if you take it out b'yad, if you take it out in your hand, and the rest of your body remains in the Rishus HaYochid, you're still Chayiv. We're going to speak about this halacha momentarily. And Bekli, but if you took it out in a Keli, you're Potter, because since it's not completely taken out into the Rishus HaRabim, you're not Chayiv. Why? Because Agad Keli Shmei Agad. Rav Amar, B'yad Potter, in the Yad, you're Potter, Bekli Yechayiv, because Eged Keli Loishmei Eged, and therefore, if Eged Keli Loishmei Eged, whatever you took out is considered that was taken out of Rishus Rab, was taken out of Rishus Yochid. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. Our Gemara just taught us that there was a history to the Machlokes of Abaya Verava. They first held one way, and then they changed their mind. So ask Tosfos, maybe this machlokes that we're learning now of Abaye v'Rava was stated before they reversed their opinions. And if it was stated before they reversed their opinions, this would be exactly consistent with their opinions at that time. So Tosfos answers that they knew that this Gemara was taught after Abaye and Rava changed their mind. And therefore, they have a very strong question. How do we understand this if Abaye and Rava no longer hold this way? Says the Gemara, what we have to do is epich. We have to reverse their opinions. But as we mentioned, there was a different discussion. What's going to be the halacha of biyad if it was carried out in the hand, where the body of the person is still in the Rishus HaYochid? And the Rishonim debate if, and here too, do we say epoch? On this, we don't have to say epoch. On this, their opinions remain the same. But what we clearly saw here is that according to Abaya, at least in the version that we have in the Gemara, if you have your hand, if you're in the Rishus HaYochid, but your hand is in the Rishus HaRabim, you're chayiv. Ask the Gemara of Atanan, we learned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, we learned Pasha Baal Bayis Es Yod HaLechutz. If a Baal Bayis extends his hand outside from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, v'notel oni mitoichoi, and the oni takes something out from his hand, or vice versa, oy shenachsan l'toichoi v'hechnes, or if the poor person who's standing in the Rishus HaRabim puts something into the Baal Bayis' hand, and the Baal Bayis brought the object into the Rishus HaYochid, shnei peturim. Now, why? So we explained, because in order to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, you have to do an akira and hanocha. And therefore, if his hand is connected to his body, and his body is still in the Rishus HaYochid, the first case, he's not chayiv midaraisa for carrying. Here you say, he is. Answers the Gemara, hasam l'mal mishloisha, hach l'mata mishloisha. In the case of the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, his hand was above 3 tefachim from the ground. So as we just said, and we learned this in yesterday's shir as well, to be chayiv on Shabbos, you have to have an akira and an anocha. Here, there was no hanocha because his hand was within 3 tefachim of the ground. His hand was not within 3 tefachim of the ground, so that's why there is no hanocha. When his hand is within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered that there is a hanocha. So what we're learning now is the fact that your body is still in the rishus hayochid doesn't mean that you will be potter. What will be the thing to look for is the hand that you're taking into rishus harabim. Did you make a full-fledged hanocha, or even if you didn't make a full-fledged hanocha, did it come within three tefachim of the ground, where we apply the concept of loved, where it's considered as if you made a hanocha on the ground? Says the Mishnah, Hamoitzi, if somebody carries something out, bein b'yaminoi, bein b'smoiloi, whether you carry it out in your right hand or whether you carry it out in your left hand, bein b'toichekoi oil k'seifov, or if you carried it in your lap or in your shoulders, in all these cases, yichayev shekeimasa b'nei kohosh. That was the way the b'nei kohosh carried the different kalim of the Mishkan. So Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, the pasuk says, that when the pasuk describes all of the different avoidas of the Leviim and to carry out, to carry different objects of the Mishkan as they traveled, the pasuk says, "Uf kudas alozav ben Aaron akoyin, shemen amor uktaris asamim umichas atomi v'shemen amishka." He carried all these different objects, and the Yerushalmi explains, he carried the shemen hamor on in his right hand, he carried the uktaris asamim in his left hand, the michas tamid was on his shoulder, and the Shem and HaMishcha were in his lap. So we have a raya that all these things, that was the way it was carried in the Mishkan. And from here we see that this is a legitimate way of carrying. And as I saw, the Paiskim point out, very important halacha, they point out that even though by other malachas, the halacha is that we don't follow, if you did a malacha with your left hand, it's not considered a doing a malacha. Whereas here we're saying if you carry it in your left hand, you are chayiv. So Tveres Yisrael explains that people who write with the right hand don't write with the left hand. So if you write with your left hand, it's not considered that you did a malacha. That's not the way you write. But if you write with your, but carrying, even people who are right-handed carry with their left hand. And since they carry with their left hand, it's considered that you're chayiv for carrying with your left hand. The question that the Sfasemis discusses is our Mishnah, as we just learned, says if you can, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, if you carry on with your shoulders, something on your shoulders, you chayiv. So the Sfasemis asks, is that only if you carry something which is normally carried on the shoulders? Or even if it's not something normally carried in the shoulders, but it's still, the Mishnah is teaching us that carrying on the shoulders is always considered carrying. Continues the Mishnah. However, if you carry something kalachiyad, which means that you carry it in an unusual manner. Kalachiyad is always the words that the Gemara, the Mishnah, uses for doing something in not the usual manner. You carry it on the top of the hand, not in the palm of the hand. Or if you carry something baragloi, with your foot, befiv, in your mouth. But the Pais can point out that carrying in your mouth is not a normal way of carrying, except for carrying food. Food, people do carry in the mouth. And therefore, by food, says Tosfos, you're going to be chayiv if you carry it out in your mouth. B'mapeka in your armpit, b'ozno in your ear, b'saro in your hair, or pindoso pio lamata, on your money belt, with the opening hanging downwards. So nobody carries that way because the money's just going to fall out. Ben pindoso b'chalukoi, when the money belt between the money belt and your shirt, in other words, you put over the money belt between the belt and the shirt, part on the shirt and part over the shirt, since the object that's in the mini belt is not secure that way. Nobody carries that way. B'sfas chalukai, you put something in the hem of your coat. B'minaloi, b'sandloi, in your shoe, your sandal. Again, not the way people carry. In all these situations, you potter, shleihoitzi kederach hamotzin. That's not the normal way of carrying. So I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita discusses an interesting shaila. He speaks about a person who, rachmana litzlan, suffers from diabetes. And he wears a pump to inject insulin into his body. So now, normally, the place that a person wears those pumps is around his stomach. And in Shabbos, he would certainly be chayiv for carrying that way, because that's derech, as we learned in our Mishnah, anything that's carried out in the normal way, yechayiv. So this person wants to be able to go out on Shabbos, and he carries it, he ties it around the leg. And the leg is not where it's normally carried. So it seems that you certainly will not be chayiv for carrying the pump out that way. Because again, it's what we learned in our Mishnah. Anything that's not carried in the normal fashion, it's not considered carrying for Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara, as we learned, the Mishnah says that the halachas of carrying, we learn from the way the B'nai Kohos carried items on Shabbos. So the question is, so we speak about carrying on the shoulders. So says the Gemara, Amar Belozer, Hamaitzi Masal Malam Asar Tfachim, if somebody carries something where the object is above 10 tefachim, he's chayiv. Why? Shekei masa b'nei kos. That was the way the b'nei kos carried. So as we've learned at the beginning of the Masechta, an area that's above 10 tefachim was rishus, is a bakum p'tor. It's not, the rishus rabma only goes up to 10 tefachim. So why are you chayiv? Normally you should not be chayiv for carrying that way. But since that was the way that was carried by the B'nai Kohos, we see that that's considered carrying. However, the Rishonim point out, it's only considered carrying when you are carrying the object. But let's say you throw an object, we've learned this halacha, and it goes above 10 tefachim, then you wouldn't be chayiv. What's the difference between carrying and throwing? So the Rishonim, the Meiri, says a beautiful explanation. He says that something that's carried above 10 tefachim, you, the person who's carrying that object, are still in the Rishos HaRabim. That's why it's considered carrying. Whereas when you're throwing it, there's no connection at all to the Rishos HaRabim, because it leaves your hands when you throw it, and then you will not be chayiv if it was above 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, Masa B'nei Kos Manolam, how do we know that was what the way the B'nai Kos carried? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Ala Mishkan V'Ala Mizbeach Soviv. So says the Gemara, since the Pasuk speaks about the Mishkan and the Mizbeach together, Makish Mizbeach L'Mishkan. The Torah is connecting the Mizbeach to the Mishkan. And we're learning, Ma Mishkan Es Amos. We know for a fact that the Mishkan was 10 Amos tall, Af Mizbeach. So now we know the Mizbeach was 10 Amos tall as well. Continues the Gemara, or Mishkan Gufi Minolan. How do we know indeed that the Mishkan was 10 Amos tall? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says explicitly, Eser Amos Oirech HaKerish. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk continues, V'yifres Es Oil Ala Mishkan. They put the coverings on top of the Mishkan. V'amar Rav, how was this done? So says Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu spread these coverings on top of the Mishkan. Mikan, so Moshe Rabbeinu must have been 10 Amos tall to be able to do it. And now the Gemara assumes that if Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos tall, then all the Levim, who were his relatives, were also presumably 10 Amos tall. Mikan at the Lamed Gomish Levim. From here we can learn that the height of the Levim were 10 Amos. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, the Gemiri, we know the kol tuna de madli b'motus, anything that's carried by poles, which was the way the mizbeach was carried, t'losa me'el, a third will be above the person's shoulders. About a third of what you're carrying will be above your shoulders. V'trei tilsim mitaschas, and two-thirds of what you're carrying will be below your shoulders. So that means two-thirds of the mizbeach, 6 2/3 amis, would have been below the Levim's shoulders, and 3 1/3 amis were above. Ishtakach. So the way we have it, if the entire height of the Levim was 10 amis, the distance between their shoulders and the ground would have been much more. So even if most of the Mizbeach goes down, 6 2/3 amis go down, the rest of the distance would be somewhere, it would still be about 3 amis, high above the 3 amis from the ground, which is more than 10 tefachim. So you see now, when they carried objects, they were carrying objects then that are above 10 tefachim. And still, we learn all the halachas of carrying, as we learned many times, from the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, V'bayis Eima, and I'll bring you another raya, that carrying above 10 tefachim was done in the Mishkan, the Aron. Domemar, Aron Tisha, the Aron was 9 tefachim tall, the Kapyrus, and the Kapyrus was a tefach. The Kapyrus was a tefach above that, so the entire height of the Aron Asar was 10 tefachim. The Gemiri, and again, Gemara continues, the Kol Tuli, the Midli B'maitis, anything carried with poles, Tilsim El, V'trei Tilsim Ra. 1/3 is above the shoulder, and 2/3 are going to be below the shoulders. So again, given that we're saying that the Levim were 10 amis tall, and we don't even have to have them that tall. As even if the Levim were much shorter, explained the Achroinim, we still have Ishtakat al-Mal Mesar Avakai. As long as the Levim, even if they were the normal height, they would still be carrying most of the Aron above 10 Tefachim. So many Mefarshim ask the question that we know there's a rule that Aron, that there's a concept of Aron Noisei Es Noisav, that the Aron weren't carried by people, it carries itself. So then how can we learn Hilchus carrying, Hilchus Aitzah, from the Aron? So the Das Akenim says that since the Aron needed people to carry it, even though there is a concept of Aron Noisei Es Noisav, still, since the halacha, the Torah, required that it be carried, it's still considered carrying. That's one teretz I saw. But then I saw a different teretz, because the Mefarshim asked, when we speak about the Aron wasn't just 10 tefachim tall, because when we speak about the Aron, we speak about the Aron having the Kruvim on top of them. And the Kruvim on top of them makes the Aron 20 tefachim tall. So everything changes. So why are we thinking about the Aron as something which is 10 tefachim tall? We should think about the Aron as something which is 20 tefachim tall. In answer to that question, they say that we know there were two Arons. One was the Aron that had the Luchas Rishonis, and one was the Aron that had the Luchas Shnius. Our Gemara is not referring to the Aron that had the Luchas Shnius, because like we just said, they had the Kruvim. And on that Aron, we also say the concept of Aron Noisei Es Noisav. But they also carried the Aron with the Luchas Shnius and with Luchas Rishonis. That Aron didn't have the Kruvim, so was indeed 10 tefachim tall. And in that Aron, we don't necessarily apply the concept of Aron Noisei Es Noisav, and therefore in that Aron, the halacha would be that it's considered carrying, and we can learn the halachas Vaitzah from it. Says the Gemara, why do we have to start saying that we're learning from the Levim? V'ligma Moshe, why don't we learn from Moshe? Dilma, from the fact that the Levim must have been tall. Now, the Gemara's question is, why did we have to come now with the limud from the Aron? We could have learned from the Aron that was carried by Moshe, that we could have learned that Moshe was that tall, and must be that the Levim were that tall as well. Answers the Gemara, we can't learn that the Levim were like Moshe. Dilma Moshe Shani, Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Dama Mar, Ein Ashkin Ashira, El Al Chochom, Gibor, for Osher Bal Koimer. The Nevuah is only a person that has all of these qualities. And that means only Moshe Rabbeinu was a Bal Koimer, was that tall. It doesn't mean that all the other Levim were that tall. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to have all of these qualities? So the Mashah explains, because these are qualities that are important by people. And we want that the Navi should have qualities that people appreciate. The Maral explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring his Shekhinah on something which is missing. So the person, the Moshe Rabbeinu, should be somebody who has all of the milas. The Ben Yoyada says a beautiful pshat. The Ben Yoyada says that what's critical in a leader is that he should be an onuf. But says the Ben Yoyada, you can't be an onuf, you can't be considered modest unless you have many positive qualities and you're still modest. So says the Ben Yoyada, Moshe Rabbeinu had all of these qualities. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu still had all of these qualities, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was the Onam Mikol Adam, the most modest individual. Because that's what is true modesty, that you have what to be proud of and you're still not arrogant. The Rambam, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah Halacha Aleph, speaks about the qualities that a Navi has to have. And he says, a Gibor, he has to be a Gibor, he has to be a Chacham. It's interesting that the Rambam doesn't mention that he has to be an Asher. So I saw an explanation of the Rambam, that the Rambam's opinion is that a Asher, we typically means a wealthy person. But we know that the Nevuah leadership was not always given strictly to wealthy people. The Gemara says that Hillel was a very poor person. Hillel didn't have enough money to pay to get into the Beis Medrash. Because the Rambam's explanation is that it's Ezo Asher Hasameich B'chelkoi. Ashiris is defined by being satisfied. And therefore, the Rambam leaves out Asher. The Arvi Nachal in Parshas Vaschanan says that there's an important lesson from this Gemara. He says the lesson of this Gemara is to teach us that the leaders of Klal Yisrael are not supposed to be people who are separated from the world. They have nothing to do with the world, and they are our leaders. On the contrary, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, says the Arvi Nachal, have all these qualities. Gibor, Asher, they're very much part of society. And they are the people who, if they deserve it, are appointed to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Mishum Reb Chiya, Hamoitzi Masa B'Shabbos Al Reishai, if somebody carries something on his head, Chayiv Chatas, Shekein Anshe Uso Hoisekein, they used to carry on their head. Ask the Gemara, V'Anshe Hutzel Ruba Da'alma, is that, are most people in the world carry things on their head, that should become the model, how you Chayiv are carrying? Says the Gemara, Liyitma Hochiyitma, Amar Rav Mishum Reb Chiya, if somebody who comes from Hutzel, where there they carried objects on their head, carried something on his head on Shabbos, chayiv, shekei b'nei iroi oisekein. Ask the Gemara, tibotl b'data etzakal adam. Maybe in Hutzel they carried that way, but that should not have any effect on the rest of the world. Says the Gemara, eliyit mahoch yitma. Hamoitzi masal roishe potter. If you carry something on your head, you potter. That the people of Hutzel used to carry objects on their head. Answers the Gemara, what they did is not considered significant. So Tosfos, the Ramask of Vimtim Tzoloimer, asks that we find later in the Masechta that we do follow the fact that certain people do something does have an effect in Halacha. So why over here isn't it considered that way? So Tosfos says that carrying on the head is something that most people can't do. So since it's something that most people can't do, it's not considered a significant way of carrying. Another pshat is that yes, we'll take into consideration minhagim of different places, but we only take those minhagim into consideration when they're done by a significant amount of people, a significant city in the world. Hutzel was a small, insignificant city. Their minhagim cannot really make determination for the rest of the world. Says the Mishnah, Miskavin lohoitzi lefonav. Somebody intended to take an object in front of him, or bala lachrav, and he carried it and it went to his back. Potter. He's going to be potter because he wanted to carry it in the front. And if he carried it in the back, that is considered, as we discussed earlier in Daf Ayin Beis, Mesasik. Lachrav. But if he intended to carry it in the back, behind him, or bala lefonav, and he went to the front of him, then he will be chayiv. Bemis Omer. Hisha Chagers Basina, a woman who's wearing a skirt that they used to wear for modesty or for other reason, and something is hanging from it to carry on Shabbos. Beimel Fanea, Beimel Chrea, no matter if it's in the front or the back, the object, chayiv. She came really royally as Chayzer. Objects that were attached to the sinner used to go to the front and the back. Rabbi Yudaima Af Mekabli Piskin. Also, people who carry items, people who are messengers. So the way Tosfos explains that they used to carry these packages for anybody, and they would put them in the front, and they would go to the front or the back, and that for it becomes a derech of carrying. However, Rashi quotes his rebbe's. The Mekabli Piskin means that they used to have these messengers, and if you give it to any of them, even if it was an intention to use one specific messenger, and then you gave it to a different messenger, you're still going to be chayiv. The Rashba and many Rishonim have a difficulty understanding Rashi's opinion, because what does that have to do with what we're learning in our Mishnah, where our Mishnah is talking about how it's considered carrying? So there's a very interesting shaila that the Shaila Tshuva, Sarah's Tshuva, discusses. He says, we're learning here, if you carry something not in the normal fashion, then you're going to be potter. Now, what's going to be the halacha? Like we go to the first din of the Mishnah. Somebody carries, something's supposed to be carried in the front, and this person always carried in the back. Let's say somebody got used to always doing something that way. So does that make it kedarkoi for him? Or do we apply the concept of bat ledata leitzel kol adam? And since people don't carry this object this way, even though he always does, it will not be considered carrying. So he says, our Mishnah says, Hamiskaven lohoitzi lefonav bala l'achrav. So we see that something that always carried in the front, if you carry in the back, you're going to be potter, unless you're the Mekabli Piskin that don't care. So the Mishnah is teaching us, if you don't care, the fact that the rest of the world does care will make you chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Mashal Fana Bala Achrov. The Mishnah began by teaching us that if something was in the front and it came to the back, you potter. Why? The Lasav Meshachtai. Because it's not the way you wanted to carry. And as we explained in the Mishnah, if it's not the way you wanted to carry, it's considered Mesasik. So ask the Gemara, Lachrov Bala Lafanov. So if you wanted to carry it in the back and it went to the front, you should be also potter. Halos Avid Meshachtai. Answers the Gemara, Amaravla. Rabbi Lazar, what we have to do is Tavra. We have to break these two halachas into two different manda omrim. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. These represent two different opinions. Amarava, or my kasha. We don't have to necessarily take one sentence in the Mishnah and break it into two different opinions. Dima, lefano of bala achrov, hanitam de potter. When you wanted to carry it in the front and went to the back, you potter. Then the skavim l'shmir meula. Having something in the front of you is a stronger way of protecting it. And therefore, if also be other shmir p'chusa, a weaker way of protecting it is the way you carried it, you're going to be potter. However, La'achar v'bola l'fonov, hainu tam d'chayiv, then skavin l'shmir p'chusa. You indeed originally intended to do a weaker shmira, however, v'also b'yod shmira mula, and that's why y'chayiv. Says the Gemara in my kusha, if there is a question, do you could demasnis in kasha? This is the question. Hamaskam loitzu l'fonov v'bola la'achar v'potter. If you meant to take it to the front and you took it to the back, you potter. So we see from here, if your intention was to carry it in the back, and you indeed carried it in the back, you would be chayiv. Ema sefer, but let's continue the Mishnah. Lachrav bala ufonov, if you intended to carry it in the back and you went to the front, that's when you're chayiv. The deek is, if you intended to carry it in the back, and indeed you carry it in the back, you would be potter. So how do we reconcile these two contradictory diukim? Amar Rabbi Elazar, to this Rabbi Elazar says, Tavra, it must be that the Mishnah represents Misha Shanazu or Shanazu, two different opinions. Amar Vashi, my Kasha. Dilma, the way to learn the Mishnah is not that way. No, the way to learn it is Lom Mibayi. It goes from the smaller Chiddush to the bigger Chiddush. Lom Mibayi L'Acharav Bala L'Acharav. Certainly, if you wanted to carry it in the back, and you indeed carry it in the back, you will be Chayiv. Because this avda machshavtoi, it's exactly what you intended to do. And since it's exactly what you intended to do, that's why you're going to be chayiv. Ella, feel la'achrav bala l'fonav. The chiddush is that you wanted to carry it in the back, but it went to the front, istrichalei. Sakadat chamina, because we would think, hoyav lo yisavad machshavtoi, what you wanted to do did not happen. And since what you wanted to do didn't happen, it should not be considered a maisa atzor and lo l'chayiv. Kamashmon, the Mishnah is teaching us a very big chiddush. Then the skavin l'shmir p'chusa, if somebody intended to do a weaker shmira, and at the end also loy shmira, also be other, he ended up doing a shmira meula, he's going to be chayiv. But it doesn't necessarily mean that our Mishnah, that this Mishnah represents a stira in any way. We learned the Mishnah ul'achrav v'ul'achrav tanayhi. The Gemara wants to suggest that if somebody wanted to carry something in the back and it remained there, it's a machloikas tanoim. The Tanya, we learned in a braisa, moitza mos bepundoso upeil amala. If you carry money in your money belt with the opening fastened above, chayiv, because that's the way money is carried in a money belt. Peil amata, if it's the money is face, if the belt is, if the opening is facing downward, review the bechayiv acham poitrim. Amalei Rehuda, iatamoidim, don't you agree? Ba'achr bol alachrof. If you intended to carry something in the back and you carry the back, shuchayiv, even though it's not where you're usually going to want to carry objects. Vamraloi, and the Rabbanan say to him, v'yatamoida, kalach yad v'ragloi, if you carry something in an unusual manner, we learned in today's shiur already, shupater. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, in summarizing what they're saying, ani amarti dav echad, I made a point to support my opinion. And they made a point to support their opinion. I haven't found an answer to their words. And as the Rashba explains the Gemara, the point of this Gemara is that even though I brought a raya, they still follow their opinion. In the same way, vice versa. That means that How do we understand this? Midakamali atamoidim, if the fact that Yehuda said to Rabbanan, wouldn't you agree that when it was behind and it remained there, that he's chayiv, la mechlal, the patri Rabbanan? It must be that one must be the opinion of the Rabbanan. Otherwise, how'd the Rabbanan have their opinion if this would be the halacha? That Rabbanan indeed hold that you're potter, ul'tameich. Says the Gemara, is that legitimate way of understanding? The Kamalei, the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, Iyatamoidim. Does that mean the Mechai Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that when you carry something in an unusual manner, you'll be chayiv. V'tanya, lachiyodah v'raglo, if you carry something in an unusual manner, the v'yakah potter. Says the Gemara, this is the way we have to understand. El achrav abal achrav, if you meant to carry it in the back, and you indeed carry it in the back, the v'rakel chayiv, everybody will agree that you're chayiv. Lach yod v'ragloi, if you carried it in an unusual manner, the v'rakel potter. Keep pligi, but v'doso pilamata. The machlokes is when the money belt facing downwards. Rabbi Yehuda says if that was the intention, that's enough to make you chayiv. And the Rabbanan hold that it's considered in an unusual manner. Whether it was your intention or not, you will still be potter. We learned in the Mishnah Be'emes Amru Hu Isha, whenever a woman carried something on attached to a skirt, it makes no difference, and the skirt goes from the front to the back to the front. Since that's the normal way of carrying, you're going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, V'tanya, Ka Be'emes, wherever the Mishnah uses the word Be'emes, halochahi. That is the halocha. Rav Yehuda Omer, Af Mekabli Piskin, that the people who carry the messengers, the objects, the messengers, we learned the two pshatim. Tana, Shekein Lavri, and Malchus Oisekein, that's the way the messengers that work for the king carry. So our Gemara says that whenever it says Be'emes, that's the halacha. So the B'nai Yisoschur in the Sefer Agri, the Pirka, says that usually when the Mishnah says the words Be'emes, it means a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. And why is it considered, why is halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai called that way? He says that as Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving Har Sinai, halacha, as he was leaving Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him these halachas. What? Why? So he continues to explain. We know that as Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving Har Sinai, was the time when Klal Yisrael did the Chet Egel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have, they should have a kapara on the Chet Egel. How would they have a kapara on the Chet Egel? By learning these halachal Moshe M'Sinai. So he continues to say, we just learned that whenever it says Be'emes, it's referring typically to Halachal Moshe M'Sinai. The Egel, Avodah Zarah, is just the opposite of Emes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Halachal Moshe M'Sinai, which are Emes, to counteract the Sheker of the Egel. So now we understand, says the Bnei Yisoschar. Be'emes Amru, whenever we have an halacha Moshe M'Sinai, it's called Emes. Why is it called Emes? To counteract the Egel, which is Sheker, and that's the way we're going to have a kapara on that terrible Aveira.